Welcome to the Casual Camping Podcast, your home for the best camping discussion both in and out of the field. Here are your hosts, Tim and Aid.
Hello, and welcome back to another Casual Camping Podcast. I'm Aid.
And I am Tim. Hello, everybody.
You're looking very sort of outdoorsy there, Tim, with your North Face on.
Well, I kind of live in North Face all the time. I kind of live, sleep, work, you know.
Do they know you creep into the shop after hours?
They know I creep.
Glad you said it first.
Yeah, thought I'd better do. You're looking dapper in your Lonsdale.
Well, I've had a haircut. I'm kind of, trying to slim down a bit. You know, the camping season's nearly here. I'm excited for it. I'm sick of years of huffing and puffing trying to get a tent up. So I'm going to see what I can do, you know.
No
promises. I'm not doing this for anybody other than me and the tents.
You weren't obese. You know, you were. I think you're looking all right. I think you're doing okay. I also had a haircut.
Borderline, by the way. Nobody, borderline.
Borderline obese.
I was.
Oh, a slice of pork pie away from a coronary.
What a way to go. Those porkity pies. There's people in North America that are going, what the hell are pork pies?
Yeah, pork pies are part pork in a really nice, really quite crusty pastry, making it a pie. It's right pork, nice.
Pork pie. Look it up, people. You heard it here first.
Now all I want to be eating, snack of the week, is pork pie.
Oh, I've had a salad today.
You had a salad today. Oh, now I'm going to make you feel really bad. I've got little chicken satay skewers today to eat.
Nice.
Well, I say chicken. I think it's reconstituted chicken lips and things like that with a bit of mild peanut flavouring, but tastes okay.
Tim, just pretend you're camping. You never know what you're eating then, but always tastes nice. Or maybe that's just the beer.
Might be the fact it's been cooked on an open fire, and therefore everything tastes better when it's on an open fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it does,
so,
really, doesn't it?
I've got a couple of social media shout-outs.
Ooh.
I do. Daniel Hayes. Hey up, Daniel. He says he really likes the gear info, the great gear info, but the humour and interaction between Aid and Tim is top-notch. We're top notch. We're top shelf.
Wow.
Oh, no, that means something else.
Don't be showing me a good time, Tim.
That good time's saved for Tom.
I heard he enjoyed it.
There's no going back from this now, is there?
There really isn't. No, I was just, it's made me chuckle all week.
You turn your camera off, I can't see you.
Oh, have I now? It made me chuckle all week.
I got messages off a couple of friends that thought that was quite funny as well.
It's, the things that we say, I do the same stuff. I'm sure I've done it many, many times. Maybe not on a podcast, but, you know, I always do things and go, ooh, it's, have you ever seen Modern Family?
Yeah, I love Modern Family.
Yeah, I do very sort of the dad kind of dumpy thing. So
he's funny. I got another one. So thank you, Daniel Hayes, for saying we're top notch.
Thanks, Daniel. I can't shorten that. Can I? Dan the man. Boom.
Oh, there you go. Now this is, you know, I don't know if this is a made up name, but. If I was going to make up a name, it might be this made up name, Chaz Chazington. Chaz Chazington. It sounds like he's like proper posh and he's there with a cigarette in a cigarette.
I hope he lives in Chazington Towers or something as well.
Chaz Chazington, Chazington Towers. Hello. I like camping. But he says, What he likes most about the podcast is it's casual and hosted by two giggly Yorkshiremen.
I don't know what it means.
What's that about?
What's that about? Thank you very much, Chaz. Yes, we try. Right. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. I've got a shout out.
Go for it.
Tommy Sestetia. Really ruined that. I just followed your sort of... We didn't go to school, Tim. We didn't go to school. Reading's not my first thing.
You know, if you're doing a shout out for someone, you've got to actually be able to say their name.
I know. But says you.
I know, anyway, I know.
Anyway, Tommy says he came across our podcast in the holidays, listened to them all. Really good stuff, gentlemen. And your giggles and laughs together is contagious. Keep it up.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. That's not a mediocre five-star review. That's a proper five-star review.
Tommy, thank you very much. Happy trails. Mm. Yeah.
On the subject of butchering names, so Nick So Cool, that we did a shout out to, has come back to us and actually told us how to pronounce his name properly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's Nick Secor, which is way the hell cooler than anything we could have done. I mean, that sounds like he's saving puppies from burning buildings. Yeah. I'm Nick Secor. That's so cool.
Yeah. I bet he'll be going around going, yeah, just call me Nick So Cool.
Oh dear. So what are we talking about today? What are we doing? What is this?
What this is, kind of off the back of last week's, if you're going first time, and I know we've got a lot of hardcore people that are out wild camping, out every weekend, trying to get out into nature and stuff like that. Bear with us, people. We've got some top tips and we just want to share that. We also want to attract some new listeners to us. So this week, I thought we'd talk about what you need to take mm-hmm. and for the different kind of time frames that you're going on.
Cool.
So what do you need if you're doing an overnighter? What do you need if you're doing a weekend? What do you need if you're doing a week?
Mm, yeah.
What do you need if you're doing 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a... Yeah. Those are very different kinds of trips, aren't they? And and if you're lucky like us, I would take different equipment, but I'm lucky enough to actually have different equipment. Not everybody is, but but I would be thinking, yeah, if I'm doing one night, well, I'd take X, Y, and Z. If I'm doing three nights, I'll take, you know, A, B, and C. And if I'm doing a week, E, D, and F. Who knows?
Somebody went to school, didn't they? Was it only me that didn't do that? It was only me.
Yeah, they weren't in the right order, Ed.
I'm dyslexic. Who knows? I'm not. I'm sorry. Felt bad then, claiming other people's whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway, so
go on then.
Well, no, I sort of got me thinking last time, a follow on about what do you need and how do you, you know, if you're a first time camper, what you need to be thinking about. And I think we covered a lot of good advice about, you know, don't over egg it, you know, try it out, make sure it's good. You know, if you're nervous about it, do all of that. But then the other, it got me thinking as well about that. What do you take? You know, how do you know how much gas that you have? What would you, you know, fuel, wood to burn, and those types of things. And I don't think there's any kind of specifics to some of those. I think it's just I was thinking, well, it does follow on kind of what do you need, and what have I experienced really. So like for a night, you more or less take nothing. I think, really. You know, depending on where you're at, if you're on a site, you know, you can buy most things there that you would need to. A lot of these modern day sites in the middle of summer, they're going to do pizzas on a weekend. You can go with very, very little. But I think it comes down to as well the quality of what you want from a night. Do you want a rough and ready? You can rough and ready any night, you know, wherever, whenever. For a night. And I've just turned up with beer sometimes. Just going, oh, you know what? I've got chips on the way there. I've eaten that. And then, you know, just turned up with beer and got smashed. Boom. That's what I was after that night.
Did you have a tent or just sleep in the grass?
Well, I forgot. I have turned up without a tent once. But, you know, that was a whole different camping experience.
That's a whole different podcast, listeners.
Bullying my way into like, well, can I sleep in your tent tonight?
What, random strangers? No. You heard it here first.
Hey, I tell you, they're friendly, but I've never found anybody that friendly. Oh, yes. Do you want a top or tail? But you know what I mean? You can more or less rough it for a night with your basic stuff of you've got your sleeping mats and stuff. Last year, I turned up for that campsite that was by the River Severn in Worcester that didn't have toilets.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot a sleeping mat. Slept on the ground that night.
You're right. You can do that. You can do that for a night. You can't do it for 2 nights, and you sure as heck can't do it for a week.
I was a bit stiff the following day. It was, a bit of an uncomfortable night, but I had a few beers. Didn't really notice it too much. Yes, listeners, I know it doesn't always have to be a few beers, but, you know, my social group is catching up with old friends. So
sometimes it can be port.
It can. Doesn't need to be
beers. It is if Chas Chasington's there. I've got the port. I'm sorry, Chas. It's just really funny.
Really sorry.
We'll send you
some stickers.
Actually, yeah, send me your address. I'll send you some stickers.
But then if you're going for a weekend, you know, that's the thing that then comes into, we talked about the gear that you take, but also what makes that comfortable. So, you can have a good night's sleep and you've got all the comfort, you're dry, you're warm, it's lovely. And then for me, there's the things like, well, actually, I can't function without a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in the morning. You know, that's the kind of first thing, you know, oh, waking up, oh, isn't it lovely? Get that kettle on. And I think the standard rule of dependent on you need enough gas to at least boil a litre of water a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, essentially, you need, I don't think there's a specific measuring for it, but you need to be able to boil water on a day. You need to be able to drink 2 litres of water to keep yourself alive kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Beer doesn't count, I'm here. Shame.
No. Well, there's a lot of alcoholics in the world who are trying to prove that wrong. But I'm the same. If I've gone for a night, I'm an over preparer. So if I've gone for a night, I've probably still carried too much stuff. But I can rough it, and you can get away without, you know, if you know you're just getting up in the morning and everything. I don't take breakfast. I don't take stuff for a drink. I think I'll stop at a cafe or a McDonald's or something like that on the way back from wherever I am. But if I'm there for 2 nights. I gotta take some nice food, and I've absolutely got to take my coffee stuff, because if I can't make a proper fresh cup of coffee in the morning, I'm like no good to anybody. It's you know, a proper ground coffee. You know,
I sometimes do it the opposite way. If I'm going for one night, I seem to just the same when I'm in hotels. To be honest, I seem to take more for the shorter journeys and then go, oh, you know what, I'll rough it, which isn't what this episode's about. But I wish I did it the opposite way and think, right, okay, what do I need? I think food is an interesting thing the longer that you're there. So have you ever kind of, because I know you like a steak, you always do vegetables with it, which is great. I normally burger, hot dogs, and you do that. You do that for two nights on a trot and it gets a little bit like, ooh, too much meat almost.
Yeah, yeah. But equally, you've got to think, it's funny, I was talking on one of the camping group today about cool boxes and things. It's and you gotta think about your cool, you know, how you're gonna, what food are you taking and how you're gonna make sure that it's edible on the last day, however long that might be. And it's easier, you know, overnight you're not taking much. Couple of nights, you know, I need to make sure I do like milk in my coffee and I do like some fresh food. So you have to make sure that it's all right for a couple of days. And I do take, you know, I've got a couple, again, I'm lucky, I've got a couple of different cool boxes. So if it's something short, I've got a smaller cool box that doesn't need to hold things cold for loads and loads of days. Or if it's like a winter camp, you know, it's cold enough outside. You don't need something massive that's going to keep ice cold for days. But if I'm then, you know, longer than a weekend or something like that, then you have to think, okay, well, I still want to eat that food, so I do take the bigger cool box, and I make sure it's got lots of ice in it. And sometimes, if you're there for even longer, you've got to think, well, I might need to go and get some extra ice. I mean, I'm lucky, I've got a really decent cool box. It will keep ice in it for 4 or 5 days. Yeah. And I'm happy with that. But yeah, when it comes to thinking about food, I'll often the first night I'll take the freshest stuff that I would be most worried about. So it's gone out of the fridge at home into a cool box, and that night I'm cooking it. And it's often a steak. It's often some, you know, vine tomatoes or something like that. It's often things like that. The second,
Chasington's just gone. Ooh, he's my cat. Sorry, Chaz. That'll be the last one tonight. Okay.
I don't think it is. I think Chasington's going to come along with us for a long time.
you're welcome to come camping with us.
Like second or third night, I might bounce it down to a some tinned food, just because actually, you know, it's going to last. It doesn't have to be in a cool box or anything else, and it's really filling. And I'll often do that. You know, a tin of, this will probably sound gross to most people, but a tin of chicken curry tastes great, and it's going to outlive me, so it's never going to go off.
I've got one in the cupboard that would disagree with you. It's been handed down from father to me. He was like, I'm not going to eat that. And it's 2 years out of date when he gave me it. So,
oh my God. And your first thought was, I'm not going to eat it either, but I'll hold on to it and give it to Nye when he's old enough.
Tim, are you hungry next time we're camping?
You don't have to get me a birthday present this year, Ed. It's okay.
But that's the thing, isn't it? With the invention of the Yeti and Grizzly coolers and Stanley coolers that have all just gone up a gear. Certainly here in the UK, there were just thin bits of plastic that were no rubbish. Insulation with them.
Rubbish. And so I mean, the brands that are now big here, they've been in North America since the 70s, most of them doing fantastic cool boxes. We didn't know what a fantastic cool box was. They were real cheap, awful stuff.
How many times did you go for two nights and just really suspect that those sausages weren't good for the second night?
A bit slimy. And it's like, really? You know, you couldn't get food to last two nights in the UK. Yeah. It was shocking. It was absolutely shocking.
And yeah, a top tip, I used to freeze my stuff in individual kind of little packets, freeze them so that it gave it a little bit of extra time. Because you go, oh, they've got to defrost. That's at least 6 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. I used to freeze my beer cans, use those as chill blocks. You know,
all
if you
the
go
things
on a weekend,
that we had to do because we didn't have decent kit.
Yeah. But if you drank too heavy on the first night, you were like, I haven't got any more beer because it's all frozen.
Out the starting gate too quickly.
Yeah. You always go big letting first night, don't you?
Pina colada beer.
But, you know, it's saving space. So you maximize the space of your cool box by using your beer, your second or third night's beer as you chill, as you freezer blocks.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? That if you're going with a group of people as well, that food, you know, sometimes we've done it where we've gone, right, who's going to do breakfast? Who's going to do dinner? Who's going to do lunch? Just so that, you know, you don't have to think about too many meals. You could just go, right, okay, I can hand over a meal to somebody else. You've cooked me steak a couple of times, which is lovely. You buy better steak than I do. You've been down south too much, young'un.
I've been eating with Chaz Chazington.
I hope we're saying this with fun. I hope you're not offended, Chaz.
Yeah, I really hope you're not, but we can't stop now. It's you've cooked some amazing meals though. You do like fajitas and all sorts of stuff. And your pancake balls on a morning with maple syrup on are just like it's just great.
They're very nice with a coffee, them, aren't they?
They're really nice with a coffee.
It's just for anybody that's sort of going pancake balls, that's just, I've got a Japanese kind of street food pan that's just half round things. And instead of doing the fishy kind of thing that they do, it's just pancake mix and then turn them over, drizzle of maple syrup with some kind of pancakes. But yeah, just really good after a morning after kind of thing.
They're exactly what you want on a morning after.
Need bacon sprinkles, I think.
Well, pictures we put on social media from our camping trip in Worcestershire a few weeks ago, I did put some posts of the food that we were having, and I think the last picture was the pancake balls that you'd made. So people can go and have a look on the Facebook or the Instagram. And they'll find it.
Yeah. So I think we've covered sort of night, two nights. You're going to make sure that you've got enough gas. You're going to make sure that you've got enough food. I'd vary the food as well. Make sure that you've got it. If you're going for a little bit longer, how are you going to cool it? A lot of the campsites these days have a little freezer section somewhere so you can go keep on refreezing things if you want. If you are a fan of more wild camping, then, yeah, you know, these big coolers, they are quite heavy. You can't be walking in anywhere with them. So, you know, think about it slightly differently. Is that dried food? I'm not a fan of the dried food. And I did read an article in, was it Outside Magazine, about a trail hiker who had kind of fallen out of love of rehydrated food. And he was saying it just, the problem with Jetboil and all of those ultra fast boiled stoves were that it had narrowed his field of what he was eating on the trail.
Yeah.
Because it was all coming down to, how many grams is that? What can I eat? And actually, if you like food like I do, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's like going away, staying at a hotel somewhere, you know, it's a treat, you're on holiday, you're doing something. So yeah, it was sort of coming away
you want to do a bit of cooking. Those super fast burners, they're great. I had one for years. I had a Jetboil flash for years, but they are designed to boil water really quickly, and those dehydrated meals that you chuck some water into them, the kind of, you know, yeah, they have got a bit better flavor wise and things like that at the moment, you know, more recently, but it is, it's kind of like you're putting fuel in, you're not really enjoying the cooking process and the consuming of a nice meal. You're literally, yeah, you're putting calories in your body. And
it's that social thing for me as well. Yeah. You know, I'm a sharer anyway, so I'll be like, oh, I'm cooking this, whether anybody wants some or not.
You're an oversharer, really.
yes. Guilty as charged. So if you're going for a week, now that's where it starts to get a little bit more tricky, I think, because you know, actually a week camping somewhere, as much as I love it and love camping, you don't want to be cooking all the time, do you? So are you going to do that? Depends, you know, is it more of a wild thing for weeks? Are you somewhere where you can cut your own wood? Do you have enough fuel for the fire in order to keep it? Do you have enough fuel? How many times have we been camping and the gas stove? You're kind of like, will I get another boil out of that?
Yeah. You've got to really think about how much you're taking along.
How many? I've got loads of part empty fuel canisters in the garage that I go, oh, I'm not going to risk that one. Or, oh, will I? Won't
I?
Yeah,
you do a little shake.
Have you ever done that
test
thing where you're supposed to like submerge them? And if it's half submerged or whatever, it's saying that it's half full or.
Yeah, I've read that. I've never done it myself. I kind of do a bit of a you know, shape test and guesstimate it. But there is a sort of float thing you can do with it. There is a device I've seen recently where you can connect two together and you can kind of top one up from the other, so that you're emptying one canister into the other, which I think is probably a good idea. I might look at actually getting one of those to have a bit of a play with it, but. Because you don't want to run out of fuel, particularly if you have gone a bit more wild and a bit more rural, or you've gone to a site where there isn't a shop and you didn't really want to be driving around anywhere. It's you got to make sure that you've really got to think about stuff when you're going away for a week. I mean, certainly if I was going away for a week, I'm taking my really comfortable stuff. You know, one night, a weekend, I can sleep on a floor on a self-inflating mat. I can do all of that. But if I'm going away for a week, I want my camp bed. I want to get my ass off the floor. I want all my nice stuff. I want to think about my snacks as well. I want to, you know, it's not just about the main meals that you cook in. I want to think about all, you know, obviously I'm obsessed with snacks. But I want to think, what am I cooking? What am I nibbling on? And is there enough where I've gone to entertain me? And yeah, that can be bushcrafty stuff of wood preparing and things. You know, I'll love preparing a load of wood for the fire that night. Yeah. I can do that for hours. But actually, is there a stream? Is there some walking to do from where you are? Or actually, are you on the outskirts of a town or something like that? And could you do stuff? It's you know, a week is a decent amount of time, particularly if you've gone with kids or anything like that. Kids need entertaining. Kids will burn through whatever you can do on a campsite in about 2 hours, and then they'll want to start doing more stuff somewhere else.
Yeah. But that's the thing, isn't it? If you're on a site, you can't be going and preparing wood because they don't let you. I've been on very few sites where somebody said, oh, yeah, just help yourself to the forest there. Don't cut anything down. So, that is all really good. But then if you run out of fuel, it means you're cooking on a fire. Do you have the things that you can cook on the fire? How many pans have I ruined because I'm like, oh, I've got nothing else, so it's going to have to go on the fire, and then it just looks knackered all the time.
So
I think that's the thing. And varied food, even vary my drink, you know. Full week worth of drinking beers, don't get me wrong, I can do it, I can power on through, but you know, a bit of port,
Eddie, even you can't carry that much beer into anywhere. But you know, joking aside, that's a real thing. You know, you know, even if you're only having half a dozen cans on a night, if you're away for a week, that's quite a lot of beers that you're carrying in somewhere.
Yeah.
It's and actually, like you say, we'll have a bottle of port. I might even take a bottle of red wine, something like that. You don't need to chill those things. It's you know, you got to kind of vary. I also, if I've gone away for a bit longer, I do like to take some fruit. I do like to take some vegetables with me. And I do like to take some soft drinks, because actually it's quite nice to have, you know, a can of Coke or a glass of lemonade or something like that. It's what are those pouches of like orange juice that you get, like Sunkiss type,
yeah, quencher things.
Yeah. I've used those previously as freezer blocks as well. So if you freeze all those, give it a couple of days, and they're or leave it out of the cool box if you think you're going to fancy one, and they'll defrost pretty quickly. It's really
top
nice
tip.
To have something really refreshing like that, and they're really great for kids.
Yeah, I many years ago. Met up with some big drinking friends in Treswick, where we went to, where we talked about often. Mm-hmm. And on the first couple of nights, they were quite heavy. And then on the second day, we walked into town to get some food, and we got a charcuterie board and a cream tea in the afternoon. And then kind of went, should we not tell anybody else about it? Like, you know, can we just say that we had burgers and beer all the time? And it was so nice to have something different.
I've got a mate that still takes the mick out of me, because camping in Wales after a bit of a disastrous hike in horrendous weather, we got to this pub and we kind of collapsed in the chairs, and the guy came over to us because we looked that sort of drowned and bedraggled, and he went, what can he get you? And I just went, I saw on a board what they were doing, I just went, could I have a cream tea, please? And I had a scone with cream and jam and butter and a cup of tea. And my mate was like, what? And he still takes the mate. Once in a while, he'd just come over and go, I've got your scone.
There's people in America listening to this, maybe for the final time, going, they don't know what it's like to wild camp, where you've got to take guns in case the bears come.
I know. Some of the people who are in our Facebook group, they do like proper serious stuff in North America.
Yeah. And,
gosh.
I'd love to go to Yosemite or somewhere. We're going to do it. Road trip, Tim.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to invite us over. You know, it's obviously we can't bring all of our camping equipment, so we'd need a friendly person to lend us some camping equipment. We will be over like a shot. That would be epic trip of a lifetime.
Like a rat up a drain pipe, Tim would be there.
No.
I'd come along as well, obviously.
Oh, dear. No. What about 2 weeks?
Well,
I've never camped for 2 weeks. I'll hold my hand up and say that. I've never done that before.
Contrary, Tim, you have camped for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We went to Antibes in France when we were younger.
Yes.
That was 2 weeks.
I think I was six. So apologies for not remembering that.
I was 10. It was a cracking holiday. And probably where my love of camping came from as well.
You see, I totally forgot that. I put a post on the group asking people what their first time camping was this week, and I didn't put that down.
I think that is the first time for, and I was 10. That was great. And that was an old steel framed tent on a site in Antibes. Hmm. And it was a summer holiday. So, yeah, really, really good.
Cool. I do remember it, but obviously prepping wise for something like that, and I know there's a lot of people who do go to, you know, from the UK, they go for this to the south of France and camp, and I think for me, if you're going to do something like that, you've got to be near places where you can go and top up your shopping, because I don't know of a cooling system that's going to keep stuff cold that long, unless you're obviously powered cool boxes and electric hookup and all of that, which is obviously maybe something that you'd need to consider if you're going that long, really.
Yeah. I think a 2 week one, you've got to be, probably it's the same sort of prep as a week, but I think, you know, being out in nature, there are those people that will just love it and survive and do lots of things and have walks, and there's others that need to be out and about each day. I went to Pembrokeshire last year, and kind of came away from it and went, oh, actually, because we were on holiday, it was like, oh, we're doing this and we're doing that, and we didn't stay around camp too much. We did on a night, but we ate out a lot, and you know, I thought on the way home, I was like, oh, I needed to really just hang around camp a little bit more. You know, we always had something to do. We're going to go on the coastal path and stuff. And sometimes, yeah, just taking the moment to just be there, burn some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we go camping quite often, and we don't go anywhere and we don't do anything, because actually we just really enjoy being around the camp and doing camping stuff around the camp, mainly involving wood prep and burning wood prep.
Yep, I think we've covered that. But that's the thing with our friends, you know, where we do spend that time just catching up and being around camp and just taking it nice and easy.
Yeah.
So I think that's covered what you might take. Maybe it's given you some ideas. We're going to go into our minute mindfulness. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to the Casual Camping 1 Minute Mindfulness. Let the sounds of the outdoors take you back to the camping field.
So, I hope that's refreshed everybody. I've been Aid.
And I've been Tim.